about three biblical words for salvation. And it's kind of an extensive study if I get into it, so I won't get very far today. I think the next few Sunday afternoons we'll develop it and delve more deeply into these three different words. Romans 1:16. I didn't give that to you back there, but I apologize. But Romans 1:16. Says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel. Next verse of that very same scripture says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're going to talk about three biblical words for salvation, but you understand when you get saved, this faith you have is from faith to faith. It means a faith that will take you from the start to the finish. From start to finish, this faith will carry you. The righteous person lives by faith, and in doing so, you go from one level of maturity to the next. And maturity is very important. And we need to progress down this spiritual path of righteousness. And it'll help you if you will do that. So anyway, three biblical words for salvation. God, of course, freely gives us eternal life in Jesus Christ. I mean, he's accepted that today. I am free. I have eternal life. It's given to me. It's a free gift from Jesus Christ, from God through Jesus Christ. But the process sometimes is kind of difficult to understand or to grasp. So I want to, next few weeks, take and break this down. I'm just going to give you a little groundwork today, and then we'll start breaking it down just a little bit the next few weeks and help you understand what your salvation means, even the keeping power of the grace of God, our final stage of salvation, just some different words and things that will help you in your walk with the Lord, help you understand where you really stand in him. For sometimes we don't know. We get saved and we don't understand these words and don't understand all about it. And we wonder if we're even saved or not, because we still trip once in a while. But the just live by faith. And I always did this when I was a kid, especially. I look at the pastor and think, man, he's got it made. He's a preacher. I mean, if anybody's saved, he is. Well, and that should be true in a sense. But yet, preachers are just as human as you are, and so we still struggle with with life and the different struggles of life, the things that go on, and we deal with the same things that you deal with. We deal with anger. We deal with whatever it is that you might deal with. We deal with it also. We're just human, but maybe we've learned a little bit better how to handle some of those things, or maybe we've learned better how to repent of them. sometimes seems like I do a lot of repenting. But I want to stay right with God. So I do whatever it takes. So therefore, I want to try to help you get a biblical picture of the word salvation. There's three pictures of salvation. And one of them is for our salvation. One of them is salvation. The other one is redemption. And the last one is justification. So I'm going to deal with these three words in the next few weeks: salvation, redemption, and justification, and try to help you understand what they mean. Salvation, the word salvation, simply means deliverance or bringing through or bringing safely through or keeping from harm. Been saved, salvation. God revealed in Psalms 27, verse 1, that he's the one that saves his people. And let me look at that, Psalms 27, verse 1. God saves his people. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad for God today? And how he loves you, cares about you, watches over you. He saved you to the uttermost. And it says here in Psalms 27, 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? The Lord. I believe that's where I want to go, yeah. And so the Lord's my salvation. in Him. It's in Christ Jesus that I'm saved today. It's not of works, the Bible says, lest any man should work. It's by grace through faith that you got saved. Ephesians first chapter states that. I believe that's the one or second chapter. And it's by grace you're saved through faith. And that's faith in the Son of God. It's not faith in the pastor, not faith in the church, not faith in this one or that one or this thing or that thing, but faith in the Son of God. He saved you. Jesus died that you could go free from the bondage of sin. He saved you, and you've been saved to the uttermost. He's the one who saves us. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 8, and I want to turn over there and look at that for just a moment, 26, and see what it says, and then talk about it just briefly about our salvation. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 8. And it goes like, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terribleness, with signs and with wonders. And he brought us into this place, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. The Lord brought us forth, the Bible said there. Well, the same thing goes for you and I. He brought Egypt, or brought Israel out of Egypt. The Lord, they give credit where credit was due. The Lord brought us out. Now, Moses is the one doing the talking here. And sometimes the Israelites didn't seem to understand who brought them out. It wasn't Moses, it was the Lord. And so when you got saved, it wasn't, there again, it wasn't the preacher of the church or some loved one that brought you out. It was the Lord that brought you out. He's the one that set your feet upon a rock. He's the one that saved you to the uttermost. And so we need to understand that our existence or our redemption, our existence as a Christian, our redemption come about because of what God has done for us. Just like Israel's redemption from bondage of slavery Egypt was brought about by God. And our salvation has been brought about by God. And we need to publicly proclaim that. I'm saved by grace, the grace of God. I'm not saved because I'm a good person. I'm not saved because I do good deeds. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by faith in the Son of God. God has brought me out. And so we need to confess that. And in that process of confessing that, we need to respond with thanksgiving. We need to respond with joy. We need to respond with goodness towards others. We need to respond with obedience to what God has asked us to do. God has brought us out. We owe our lives to Him. Our very existence we owe to the Lord. And our salvation is because of the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. So I owe Him everything today. There's nothing I don't owe God. He has saved me to the uttermost. He's redeemed me. He purchased me with the blood of Jesus Christ. By the death of Jesus, I've been purchased. My salvation was purchased, and I am His possession today. I know we don't like to think that anybody owns us, but I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I owe Him everything today. So I, like Paul, intentionally and on purpose, I place my life into His hand. I become His slave. I'm not just a bought slave. I am a bonded slave. I'm a slave that says, I want to be a slave. I serve Jesus. He's my master. Not only is the master of the wind, He's the master of my heart and my life. And so I serve Him because He's loved me and gave His life for me. He saved me to the uttermost. So I want to serve Jesus Christ. So I live in gratitude towards Him. See, an ungrateful Christian is not a very good Christian. You're sure not a good example to others. When you're ungrateful about everything, nothing ever goes my way, nothing's ever right. Well, I'm going to tell you, sir or madam, today, if you've been saved by grace, your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, how dare you say nothing ever goes your way? How dare you say that God doesn't love you? How dare you say that God doesn't look after you? God saved you to the uttermost. What more does He need to do for you to get you to serve Him like you ought to serve Him? He's your Savior today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I mean, you ought to be, come on, give Him praise in the house. That old mealy mouth stuff, my. Romans 12 and 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it goes on to say, and be not conformed, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have been bought with a price. We ought to serve God with all of our heart and give Him everything that we've got to give. I'm glad for that today. So I've been saved by grace. And so He's the one that saves us. He's the one that brings us through. He's the one that paved the road that leads to life eternal and fellowship with God in heaven. Without Jesus Christ, we talked about the rapture this morning. Without Jesus Christ, you're not going to be raptured. Without Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. The Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, I am truth, and I am life, and no man comes to the Master, to the Father, except by me, through me, He said. It's the only way. I'm the only way. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. Many people will tell you there's many ways and many avenues to heaven. They're liars and from the pit of hell. They don't know what they're talking about. They're either really confused or they're a really good liar, because there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And we can try it different directions, and you can try to do it, but without Christ, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And without Jesus Christ shedding His precious blood, there's still no remission of sin. It had to be Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can save you. And He's the only way to the Father today. I'm so thankful for what Christ has done for me. And so there's a road of salvation that we've embarked upon. It's not a super highway. It may not even be paved at places, but it's a road worth traveling. All the bumps, all the potholes, all the bridges that are out, all the streams we may have to ford, it's a road worth traveling. And I want you to understand, so there's a way we're traveling today. Salvation can be described as one way with two sides and three stages. And I won't have time to get into all of them. Not today, anyway, and I ain't used very much time yet. I was hoping I'd already used more than I have, but anybody got a testimony? I didn't think so. Anybody want to add to or take? One way of salvation, that's Jesus Christ. John 14:6, if you put that up there for me. There we go. I quoted it already. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. That's Jesus. That's the one way of salvation, Jesus Christ. He's the only way to the Father today. It's provided, salvation is provided by God's grace. We used to sing a song, we still do once, we got grace, grace, God's grace. It's by grace you're saved today through faith, which God gives us in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 3:24. If you would. Romans chapter 3 verse 24 reads, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where's your boasting? Is it excluded by what law or works? Nay, by the law of faith, that we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Do you understand today? So we've been saved by faith, and there's none righteous, no, not none, without Jesus Christ today. We're all under sin without Jesus Christ, but we have been saved, justified freely through redemption, through Jesus Christ, through His blood. Chapter 3, verse 25 here, He said, Christ is be the propitiation for our sins. And propitiation means simply this, that God sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, and the righteous become unrighteous to satisfy God's wrath towards unrighteousness. So therefore you and I have appropriated Jesus' blood through faith. And that means when God sees us, He sees us as righteous because of what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross. He satisfied God's wrath against sin for all those who accept Christ. Now, all those who haven't accepted Christ, they're saying, I don't need Jesus Christ, so therefore, I will suffer. I will pay the penalty for my sin. That's what they're saying. So the penalty for their sin is what? Death. Spiritual death. Spiritual death means to a spiritual hell. So they're saying, I'm going to take my chances. I don't need Jesus Christ because I take Him as my Savior and I accept His blood, that means there need to be some changes in my life. Well, there's going to be a lot of changes made. And they don't want no change made in their lives, so therefore they're saying, I believe I can withstand whatever God's got to throw at me. Or I'll plead mercy when I get there. No, the time to plead mercy is now. It's going to be too late then. You got to plead mercy for His mercy now through Jesus Christ. Jesus took your place. He paid a debt He didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He took care of it. Wiped my slate clean. And now I'm free from the bondage of sin and from the penalty of my sin. I owe Jesus a great debt, don't you? I owe Him a great debt. So He's done this through His blood, the atoning blood of Jesus. He died for all mankind. It was a sacrifice, the offering of His own blood. This blood is vicarious, which means He died not for His own sake, but for the sake of others. Jesus didn't need to die to go to heaven. He was already in heaven. He made it all. He was there in the beginning, in the creation. He helped create everything. But He said, Father, I'll go satisfy your need for justice. I'll satisfy your need for wrath upon the sin of men. I'll go down there. I'll take their place. I'll be a substitute. I'll let you shed my blood, and we'll take my blood, we'll apply it to their lives and cleanse them. He did that. He didn't owe that. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, Father God, them are rascals. They don't deserve nothing. Let's make somebody new. No, He didn't. He said, Father God, don't kill them. We'll make them better than new. We'll make them better than new. We'll wash them in my blood. We'll cleanse them from all unrighteousness. They'll be better than new. And then, Father, they'll love me and they'll love you because they'll be so grateful for what I've done. Wrong. I'm grateful, though, aren't you? So that's what it's about. The blood of Jesus is vicarious. It was substitutionary. In other words, he suffered death as a penalty for our sin. He took our place. Jesus did that for you and I. And then it was propitiatory. I said it better a while ago. That word there. In other words, it's death. His death for sinners satisfied God's nature, God's righteous nature and His moral order, and removed the wrath of God from the sinner. Man, that's exciting to me, isn't it? You? I mean, I deserve it. I deserve whatever God can do to me. Have you ever picked on somebody before or played a joke on them and they get angry and they say, I'm going to get you back, and you may really deserve it. That's sort of like us and God. We really sinned. We did some things we should. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I've never done all that bad stuff. I've been in church all my life. It don't matter. Your mom and daddy were sinners. It's what the Bible said. We were all born into sin. So we're all born sinners, whether we really done all that stuff or not. We need a Savior. And so, but you know, some people, I'm going to get you. I'll get you if it's the last thing I do. By the way, Abigail, when Pat gets here, she's going to get you. And you'll be glad she wasn't here today. She's going to have time to cool off. Yeah. And if y'all want to know that story, ask Abigail. She was a very mean person. But you ever, people want to get you. You know, they want to get you. Well, God deserves to get us. But yet He said, if they'll accept you, Jesus, I won't get them. I'm going to let them go free. I'm going to cleanse them. And I'll let them go free. So He took our place. And He did, He didn't have to be won over to show mercy. He did it because He loved us. He reconciled us to God when we were unlovable. Yet while we were unlovable, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to straighten up. He says, I'm going to go die for them now. I don't know if you're getting this or not. This is exciting to think that God would look at me, a rebel without a cause, and save me. all that bad stuff I did when I was a kid. Then I become a teenager and it got worse. All that stuff. And He saved me anyway. You too. There's none of us. There's none righteous, the Bible said. No, not one. No, not one. And He saved it. And then His blood is expiatory. In other words, it's a sacrifice to atone or make reparation for sin. The sacrifice, it annulled the gift. Annulled the guilt. Where you were guilty, He says, not guilty. If you was going to the courts of heaven today and the devil being the prosecuting attorney, Jesus would be your defense attorney. And after the devil got through with all his accusations and all things, God would look at Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you think? And he'd just hold out his hands and God would take his big old gavel and not guilty. Why? Because Christ paid the price. He already took care of it. The debt's paid. Don't have to pay that fine. One time, Denny got in some trouble, and not bad trouble. He was speeding, coming up 177, about 100 miles an hour at 9 o'clock at night. And car said we told him to be home by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and it was late, and he wasn't. It's before he dated your daughter. And back anyway, he's down there visiting this old girl he shouldn't have been visiting down at way down at Locust Grove, and Long Grove. And he's coming home, and he's late, and he's driving real fast, and anyway, he got more trouble at home than he did with the law, but we had to go to court. And we got to court, and Denny was, he wasn't crying, but he's wanting to. And I was crying. Judge, I'm going to have to pay this fine. He won't ever pay it, sir. I'll have to pay it. And I wasn't crying. We went before the judge and talked to that judge, and that judge was just as gracious as he could be. And he said, you know, I believe, you know, and he found out, he knew that Denny's mom had already just, you know, well, Denny come in there and three casts and a bandage on his head, and he knew he'd paid the price already for that. And then I thought she was going to kill him. And she couldn't talk for a week after chewing him out. She yelled at him so much. And we all got a break there, didn't we, Missy? And anyway, that judge was so gracious. He said, I'm just going to give him probation. It was a big fine. I mean, it's like it'd been $200. It's a big one. You know, 16-year-old kid driving 100 mile an hour up one of the most dangerous stretches in Pottawatomie County. You know? And that judge was very gracious with us and just gave him a lecture and a slap on the wrist and said, I'll give you probation 6 months. You stay clean for 6 months and I'll expunge you. It'll be gone. It won't be ever in no record that you ever did it. And he stayed clean. He didn't go back to Long Grove either, wherever it was. He wasn't late getting home no more either until he started dating Laurie. Then he got stopped a couple times coming home. That's how God is. You're guilty. You're guilty of sin. You did it. Drops the gavel, says, no charge. Charges dismissed. Price has been paid. You don't owe nothing. Isn't that great what God does for us? You don't owe nothing. And then it was effectuous. That's as close as that's. You don't know what it says for sure anyway. Effectuous. Has effect. His atoning debt. Aren't you glad I'm back so you have something to laugh at? Somebody to laugh at. I throwed that word propitiatory in there in my little saying for Thursday at the funeral, and Jerry Kuhn couldn't say it either. Made my day when she told me he couldn't say it. His death in itself had the power to produce the full desired effect of redemption when appropriated by faith. It was effective. It produced the desired results when he got saved. Then it was victorious. I can say that. Victorious! And on the cross, Jesus fought against and was triumphant over the power of sin, over the power of Satan, and all the demonic host that was holding people captive. He totally annihilated Satan's effect. Totally freed us from the effect of our sin and from Satan's power over us. We no longer have to have the guilt. He defeated all his spiritual enemies. He defeated our enemies today, and his death is redemptive, and he liberated us from our enemies that was holding the human race in bondage. We are free today. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. So that's where I'm going to stop today. But these words, that's about your salvation today. And I'm glad for that, aren't you? I've been made free to serve Christ. His sacrificial death is there. And anybody can appropriate His grace if they just will do it. Some groups say that only certain people, the elect's going to be saved. I don't believe that. I believe John 3:16 is very plain. For God so loved the world. That's everybody and everyone in it and everybody will ever be in it. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's everybody, whoever will believe it, shall be saved. Whoever wants to believe it can appropriate it. When they're dealt with by the Spirit of God, and I believe He'll deal with everybody at one time or another, give them opportunity to get saved. Not everybody will accept it. Many will reject it. But everybody will have opportunity to become a Christian. They'll never be able to stand before the judgment seat of God, the great judgment seat of God, and say, I never knew. You didn't give me a chance. Say, yeah, I did. And this is when, this is how, and this was your election. This was your choice. Depart from me. I don't know you. You don't want to hear those words. You don't want to hear those words. You know how devastating it is for when you're a kid, your mom would tell you, get out of the house. You know, get out of here right now, and how bad it makes you feel. You know, you feel dejected when your parents don't want you. Maybe they get tired of you going, Mama, 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 Mama. You know, dads just tell you, shut up, kid. Go ask your mama and you go do it and you get in trouble. But anyway, dads are good at that. That was my favorite phrase my kids were growing up. Daddy, can I? Yeah, go ask your mama. She said, go ask your dad. I said, I told you to ask your mama. I ain't getting in trouble. She says yes, it's okay. If she says no, well, I back her 100%. Would you stand with me and I'll shut up.